This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. 51 years ago, the U.S. Supreme Court decided a landmark case, Gideon v. Wainwright. It established a right to a lawyer in criminal cases if the defendant can't afford one. But should there also be a right to a lawyer in certain civil cases, cases involving critical issues like housing, health, or child custody? How would such a system work, and who would pay for it? Those are questions that a task force in Maryland has been grappling with this year. The task force comprises judges, legislators, and lawyers, and is staffed by Pamela Ortiz, executive director of the Maryland Access to Justice Commission. I spoke with her about it in December of last year. I began by asking her what a legal system that provides lawyers in certain civil cases might look like.
Currently, we have very large numbers and percentages of individuals who appear in court without the benefit of a lawyer. In civil matters, a lot can be at stake. You can imagine that an individual who goes to court today might be facing the loss of the ability to parent a child if they're involved in a contested custody matter. They might be facing the possible loss of a home if they're in an eviction or a foreclosure matter. They may be facing risks to their personal safety if they're a survivor of domestic violence. And yet, in all these case types, I think many Marylanders would be surprised to find that they do not have a constitutional right to a lawyer should they not be able to afford one. So today, the system we have requires that many individuals proceed in court on their own. They have to prepare court forms. They have to file pleadings. They have to prepare witnesses. They have to gather evidence. Most of these individuals don't know how to use the rules of evidence, and they're therefore much less able to effectively present their story in court. So a system that would provide these individuals with access to a lawyer would enable those individuals to take advantage of the protections and the rights available to them currently under Maryland law. And that is the idea behind a civil right to counsel.
Are there any cases, civil cases, in which Maryland currently pays for a lawyer or allows for a lawyer to be publicly paid for, even though it's not a criminal case?
There are several limited civil case types where Marylanders have a right to a lawyer, and that right has been created by statute. Areas like in child welfare cases, cases involving child abuse and neglect, where the state has come in and removed a child from a parent's care because of alleged abuse or neglect. Both the parent and the child have an opportunity to appear in court, and both have the right to be represented. Those lawyers are paid for by the state through a program administered by the Department of Human Resources. A few other case types, in guardianship matters, in adoption cases where the state is involved, again, the culmination of those child welfare cases where the state is now seeking to place the child permanently with a family for adoption. Those are the primary areas where people have an access to a lawyer, also in commitment to a mental facility, and a couple of other small areas.
On 88.1, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Last December, I spoke with Pamela Ortiz, executive director of the Maryland Access to Justice Commission. She's staffing a state-initiated task force looking at whether poor Marylanders should have a right to a lawyer in certain civil lawsuits. I asked her how much it would cost.
Well, I don't want to preempt the task force. It's really the task force under the director of its chair that's going to be exploring that question. The commission, the Maryland Access to Justice Commission, wanted to explore more about how we might implement a right to counsel in Maryland should such a right be established, either by case law or by an act of the General Assembly. And we made a list of all the variables you'd have to define. It would have to be complex. You would have to identify clearly which cases would entitle someone to a lawyer, what income eligibility guidelines you would use, when a person's right would attach. Would they have the right only when they came to court? Would they have an opportunity to consult with a lawyer early on to determine if they had a legal problem? So there are many variables. In the variables that our commission looked at, we kind of put a picture together of how you might build a system. And the commission issued an implementation document in 2011 that sketched that out. Using those variables, about $106 million. It's a complicated, large system that would fill the gap. Currently, what we know now is that about 20 to 22% of individuals who are low income and have a legal need get their legal need met with the help of a lawyer. that means that about 80% of the need is going unmet.
But the cost of this looks roughly to be about the same order of magnitude that the state currently spends on criminal defense for indigents.
That's correct. It's in that ballpark. The other part of the equation, of course, is what are the benefits to the state? What does it cost us now when we fail to provide that level of representation? Maryland's Access to Justice Commission also did an economic impact study this past year and looked at the financial benefits that civil legal aid lawyers win for their clients here in Maryland and the kind of economic stimulus their work generates by keeping tenants in their homes longer, by securing benefits faster, by preventing homelessness, and by preventing domestic violence. And the figure we came up with for the single year we looked at was $190 million in economic benefit. So that's the other side of the cost equation. What would the financial benefits be to the state to actually provide representation so these individuals can exercise their rights?
But private lawyers already handle a lot of cases around issues like housing and health. Here's an ad from a Baltimore law firm.
We have previously investigated thousands of medical malpractice cases on behalf of our clients and have been essentially limiting our practice to medical malpractice for the last 26 years.
So that's a law firm that specializes in health lawsuits. We see ads from law firms on trains trying to reach out to people who believe they've suffered from lead poisoning. Why does the state need to step into it?
Actually, the kinds of cases that we're talking about in a civil rights counsel would not include cases where individuals are suing for money damages. Because in those cases, generally, lawyers can be paid from the proceeds. And individuals who've been harmed and can sue for money normally are able to secure the help of a private lawyer who will often represent them on a contingency basis, accepting payment only if and when they secure a win for that client. The kind of cases we're talking about are cases where there are no deep pockets and where there's very little money at stake. The idea of a civil right to counsel is the idea that Marylanders should have access to a lawyer at public expense in cases involving basic human needs when they cannot afford it. And by those we mean housing, sustenance, shelter, safety, health, and child custody. So in the area of health, what we're primarily talking about is securing access to health benefits. In the area of safety, we're talking primarily about domestic violence cases. And you can imagine in a domestic violence case, there's no money at stake. You're seeking a court order requiring someone to refrain from harming you.
Have any other states established a civil right to counsel?
There are states that are exploring this concept. California passed a bill several years ago providing $9 or $10 million for 6 years to fund pilots in civil right to counsel. And the Boston Bar Association funded two studies to look at what a right to counsel would do in housing cases. And the state of New York has secured about another $25 million for civil legal services with the idea that they need to expand access to lawyers for low-income individuals. So states are exploring these ideas. And the American Bar Association endorsed the concept of a civil right to counsel with a unanimous resolution in 2010.
But I can imagine that critics would say that it's going to just create more lawsuits and more bureaucracy. I mean, how can you make sure that it wouldn't overburden the system?
Well, right now we have a system in which unscrupulous institutional plaintiffs, perhaps creditors, landlords, and others, know that low-income individuals are only going to be able to get legal help about 20% of the time. That has an impact on their business model and whether they comply with the law. If you provide access to a lawyer in a housing case, for example, landlords will know that their tenants will have the opportunity to exercise their rights under the law every time, and that will have an impact on the quality of housing available to them and whether they get their security deposit back. So providing access to a lawyer can affect behavior in a positive way.
Is the thinking now that Maryland has established this task force that this question of whether there should be a civil right to counsel is something that will be settled by the legislature, or could it still be something the courts will deal with?
Well, it could always be something the courts deal with. There could be a case brought. The Court of Appeals could identify and decide to rule on this issue. The legislature, of course, could always enhance Marylanders' right to representation through statute or through a constitutional amendment. But case law could establish that it's inherent in our own Constitution and Declaration of Maryland Rights. So that remains to be seen. It makes sense to explore what that might look like and to begin to think about it because it's a fairly big question. Before the Gideon versus Wainwright case was decided, there was no task force trying to figure out how it might be implemented if, in fact, the court were to find in favor of Mr. Gideon. And it's been a challenge. And this is an opportunity for us to think ahead and for us to really begin to understand what it means not to have a lawyer in our courts here in Maryland and how having a lawyer could make a difference.
Pamela Ortiz is Executive Director of the Maryland Access to Justice Commission. We spoke last December. She's staffing a task force looking into whether poor Marylanders should have a right to a lawyer in certain civil lawsuits. Their final report is due this fall. We've got more information about the task force on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. More ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay tuned to 88.1.